have your Bibles with you, you might like to turn to John chapter 21. John 21, and we'll read from verse 15 to the end of the chapter. Let's then read together and hear God's word. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among his brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that will be written. And God will bless the reading and the hearing of his word to us this morning. I'm sure we all have favorite characters in Scripture, from the Old Testament through to the New Testament. And you'll be able to identify with them in your lives. We're drawn to them from time to time for various reasons, and rightly so, because we can find strength and courage from them. We can find correction and rebuke from them and learn from their mistakes. And those situations can help us develop our own character in following the path which Christ wants us to travel with him. There's something, I think, about Peter with which undoubtedly we can all identify. Peter had an enthusiastic and positive character, and quickly became one of Jesus' three closest friends. On the Mount of Transfiguration, for example, in the home where the daughter of Jairus was brought back to life, his confession of faith that Christ was the Son of God and was the one Jesus sent to take the coin from the mouth of the fish. Important part to play in the ministry of Christ. However, we also get a glimpse of his human qualities. He tried to talk Jesus out of going to Jerusalem when Jesus stated that he was going there to die. He promised Jesus he would always be faithful, never let him down. When he went with James and John, along with Jesus, into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, they promptly fell asleep. And when fear got the better of him, he denied that he ever knew his Lord. Can you identify with some of those things in Peter's life? I'm sure you can. Peter was impulsive. He was inquisitive. He was inflammable. But he was also inspired. And yet, in spite of all these certain qualities which endear us to him and help us to live closer to Christ, because we can see sometimes that character being displayed in our own lives. The question which Jesus asks us all, the question which he asked Peter on that day, do you love me? Jesus had revealed himself to the disciples. To Mary, he speaks her name, and in that name there was recognition. And in that exciting encounter with Thomas, he resurrected his faith. But in the reading we had this morning, we see him coming again to those same disciples, at least some of them. Seven of them, we're told. And if you read the beginning of chapter 21, you'll see that there. This time, not within the confines of the upper room, but on an ordinary working day. Verses 1 to 3 of that chapter. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples. Someone has suggested that perhaps the vacancy of names, the vacancy of those two names, was left in order that we could sign the record. Interesting concept. And two other disciples. Could they have been us? However, this is a meeting with a difference. In the upper room, he brought comfort, peace, assurance, and hope. And here by the lakeside, he gives correction and instruction. Picture this scene for a moment. from toiling all night and catching nothing to recognition and finally breakfast on the beach. Peter had stated to the other disciples with him, "I'm going fishing." And the others following alongside him, but they caught nothing. And probably thinking that this person on the lakeside, on the shore, was one of the fish merchants who would come early in the morning to get some fish. They followed his instruction because my understanding is that someone on the shore can see where the fish are better than the fishermen can. And he says to them, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And on obeying that instruction, they were unable to haul the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Can you imagine the excitement that must have been in Peter's life at that point? Because on hearing those words, "It is the Lord," Peter instinctively jumped into the water with the others following in the boat. Peter climbed down, climbed aboard, and dragged the net ashore. What six men have been unable to do on their own, one man did when he went to work from the feet of Christ. And so Jesus again brings Peter to the center of attention. And he says to him, "Do you love me more than these?" Three times a question is asked. And three times Peter gave the same response. "Lord, you know I love you. You know all things." And that happened around an open fire where Jesus had been cooking some fish. A fire that Peter had previously denied his Lord became his place of victory. And surely that's a question Jesus asks us all. Do you love me more than these? More than these. However, in being restored, he still had some other lessons to learn. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. "Lord, what about him?" Peter had to learn this, that the greatest mistake was often looking and thinking of other people and allowing them to influence his life rather than let Jesus influence his life. And if we are honest, that can be a mistake that we often make too. I like what he's doing, so I'll just follow suit. Rather than letting the Holy Spirit infiltrate our lives, our minds, and give us the words that he wants us to take forward. We often look at others, seeking to emulate them, and ending up with some of their faults and fears and feelings. We sometimes look at other people's faith and then end up with some of their weaknesses and some of their temptations. We can sometimes look at other people's views and sometimes end up with their distorted views and opinions, rather than focusing our attention on the most important person, Jesus. We can look at others' positions in the church and never get to where God wants us to be. Rather than keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, as the writer of the Hebrews says in chapter 12 and verse 2, we must keep your eyes fixed on Christ. We can often be deviated by others. Sometimes it's the easy way out. But let's always keep our eyes, our minds fixed in Christ, that he may give us our opinions. We may know his ways. We may have clarity of thought. We may not be deceived. Following Peter's response, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Jesus said, follow me. Which would have brought back many memories to his life. Here they were, in the very place Jesus had first called them. And Peter would no doubt reflect on the past years, retracing all he had with Christ, even amongst his faults and his failures. And that would have thought him, would have caused him to think again and stimulated his thoughts about the claims and promises which Christ made. Once again, it would have stirred and rekindled his zeal and his enthusiasm. And we too are called to follow Christ with that same zeal and that same enthusiasm, to follow him as light, especially in the darkness of today's society and in life, which can often be full of difficulties and traumas. He guides us and he leads us. And let's never forget that. That he is light, and he is the one who guides by that light. Peter was asked the question in verse 15, not just if he loved Jesus, but if he loved him more than these. What or who were these? Have you ever asked that question? When Jesus stood with the disciples and he said to Peter, Peter, you love me, but you love me more than these. What was he asking Peter? Was it the disciples who were with him on that occasion? Was it the other disciples in the group, some of who weren't there? Was it going back to his old workplace? It has been thought that the number of fish that's mentioned in this passage relates to the different number of fish that were about at that time, that people knew at that time. And therefore it relates to the whole world. Love me better than this world in which we live. Do you love me, Peter, more than these? In other words, is there one person you love more than than me? Is your love one situation you love more than me? Is there something you're drawn to that you want to hold on to more than me? And sadly, at times, we make something or someone more important than Christ. If we are honest with ourselves, we sometimes do that. We let our minds wander away from Jesus to something we're involved with. And that thing or person can become more important than Christ. In her book, A Map to God, Dr. Susie Anthony relates her own experience of being caught up in dependence. Her father was a gambler and squandered everything, leaving the family destitute. Later in life, she vowed not to let herself get into that position and became a high flyer, amassing beautiful homes, cars, jewelry, and yet became increasingly insecure. Friends directed her to Harley Street. And when the pills prescribed didn't have any effect, moved on to non-prescription drugs, spending $1,000 a day, and was fond of saying she worshipped at the altar of Gucci, Prada, and Chanel. That was her God. That was where she put her focus. In 1992, Susie had a conversion experience, found God, and went in a new direction with him. And quotes in her story, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You see, Gucci, Prada, and Chanel couldn't bring this lady any happiness, any satisfaction, any comfort, any direction in life that was lasting. Only Jesus could. And we are called this morning, as Peter was called, to follow him in endeavor, in an attempt to achieve a goal. Her goal, that Dr. Susie's goal, was to find achievement in all of those earthly things. But we are called to follow him in a way that would glorify him, to put aside anything that would distract us and cause us to fail and to fall. To follow him in endurance, the ability to keep on doing something and not giving up, to doing something which God is pleasing to God, is God-centered and is God-honoring, and to follow him in enterprise, to engage in difficult actions. Sometimes we're put off with things that can cause us difficulty. And we don't want to go through the whole situation because it is too difficult for us. But perseverance helps us get through those situations. Perseverance in God, in His way, and listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, at the beginning of John's Gospel, he reveals the power of God in creation. And at its conclusion, he tells us of the grace of God in redemption. And for each and every one of us, he creates in us, or wants to create in us, new life through the redeeming love of Christ. And then, like Peter, calls us to follow him. Follow me. How are you following this morning? What are you following this morning? Who are you following this morning? Who's most important, or what is most important in your life or in my life? It has to be Jesus, because only Jesus has won the victory. Only Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the grave. Only Jesus promises eternal life. Do you believe it? Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Only Jesus promises eternal life. Nothing else. To follow him, and to follow him in the right direction, is to know his forgiveness, to know his healing, and to know his power. And we can go out of this place this morning knowing that forgiveness, that healing, and that power in our lives, in our step, because nothing else can bring the same result as Jesus can. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you. We hear those words again and again, and sometimes we just slip over them. Come and follow me. Do you love me more than these? And we can all fall into the trap of following something or someone because it appears more appealing. Lord, help us to realize that Jesus offers forgiveness, healing, and power to all of us. And he is the only one who can lead us to eternal life. Help us to trust you, to believe in you, and to follow you, and to love you more than anything else. May that be true in our lives this morning. Amen.